Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Welcome one and all to the Storybox podcast, the place to be if you are a lover of stories. My name is Jay Fanton, former real estate agent, now living my purpose, sharing amazing stories from people all over the world. I'm grateful that you're here today. Now let's journey into the story box together and hear more about whose story will be unboxed today. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Storybox podcast. Today, my friends, I am thrilled to have Nathan Chan, the CEO of Founder Magazine, on the Storybox today. Nathan doesn't just work. He builds incredible teams and businesses for fun. Nathan is on a mission to build a household name, an entrepreneurial brand that impacts tens of millions of people on a weekly basis with their content, and millions of students on their online business school of the future at Founder Magazine. He believes that life is too short to do work that you hate. And with a passion for entrepreneurship and people, he created Founder, a global media and education company that produces magazines, books, and online courses for entrepreneurs. Millions of people consume Founder's content every single month, and the magazine covers have been blessed by the likes of Tony Robbins, Richard Branson, Arianna Huffington, Tim Ferriss, Mark Cuban, Jack Dorsey, and so many more. Not only does Nathan love connecting with leading entrepreneurs and readers, but it's also great to be part of a disruptive industry that he is in and learn what it takes to create a top-ranking magazine and fast growth online media and education company. Founder at the moment is at an exciting stage of growth, with things about to go to the next level and really explode. Nathan and I have a great conversation that I know you guys are really going to love. What it takes to actually start from ground zero and build Founder. And on social media, they got millions of people following them. They got millions of readers, but didn't start out like that. Nathan is so personable. He's so approachable. And he's so humble at the same time. I mean, I reached out to this man way back at the beginning of the year, and he said, "Jay, contact me around September, October." So I did that, and we were able to connect and have this great conversation. And you're going to hear in the interview that Nathan said the reason why he went on my podcast in the first place was because I followed up. Now, for all those people that are listening right now, that you're trying to build a business or a brand or whatever, that is one of the biggest things. Make sure that you follow up. You keep a list. You're persistent. I speak about it all the time. And in this conversation, you're going to hear a lot about it. So thank you, Nathan, for your generosity and your kindness as well. Everyone, if you do get something from this, please do me a huge favor, and also Nathan a favor. Share it around to your friends and your family. Let them know what you think of this episode. Also, you can also let us know what you think of this episode by leaving a rating and review over on Apple Podcasts. That would go and be very, very helpful to building my community or the Storybox community. So with that being said, my friends, you know what time it is. It's time to dive into the Storybox and hear the kind and humble story of Nathan Chan.
Oh, mate, thanks so much for having me, Jay. It's an absolute pleasure.
Pleasure's all mine, my friend. Before we dive into, I guess, your backstory, why you do what you do, and I guess the better question would be how you do it. I have one question that I genuinely love asking people to start things off, which is, what does success look like to you?
Success to me looks like just doing work that you enjoy, and being able to have the freedom to do the work you enjoy and just live a good life, good fulfilled life.
Where did you come up with your version of success? Was there like a catalyst moment for you, or has this been like a gradual thing over time?
I think it's been a gradual thing over time. Like for me, I didn't think that I would get into entrepreneurship or start a business or anything like that. I just kind of fell into it. And I fell into it because really about I wanted to find work that I was passionate about. So I think when you're early, you know, your early days of high school, you're kind of pushed towards, you know, choosing what you want to do for the rest of your life. And it's just absolutely ridiculous because you're at an age where you don't really know who you are and you're still starting to get to know yourself and who you are. And until you really do that and work out who you are and what you want to do with your life, it's very difficult to choose a path. And, you know, we spend most of our life working, you know, a big proportion of our life working. So for me, and it's, you know, the work that you do has a direct impact of your overall life, right? Like, you know, the choices that you can make. So, yeah, for me, I kind of got pushed in a corner. I stuck to my strengths, you know, followed a traditional pathway and it was just not fulfilling for me. So, you know, as time went on, I really kind of start to think about, you know, you've only got one shot. How do you, you know, spend time, the time that you have doing things that you enjoy, right? So that's kind of just something that was developed over time.
You mentioned there your strengths. I'm curious, what were they and are they still your strengths today or have you adopted new strengths into your life?
Yeah, when I say my strengths, I would say my strengths in academia. So, you know, the subjects that I did well at were IT and business management. Both of those, they have nothing to do with real world skills around business or IT. But yeah, like academically, I was quite good at that. So I went down a pathway of doing a business information systems degree and then off you go, right? Like that's my life. Like that, my career, everything I'm going to do for a big part of my life now till I'm 60 is boxed off. And those were my strengths.
So did you end up getting a job in IT and working for how long were you working in this particular job?
So I finished my degree when I was 22, I think. Yeah, 22. Then I went and got a job at an accounting firm in IT support. At first it was an internship, so it was part of my degree. And then they offered me to stay on full time. So I stayed on full time there. And then, I went did this awesome life-changing trip to Europe, did like, you know, the Australian dream, did a Contiki tour. You're a fellow Australian, so you know how it is.
Yep.
Traveled around Europe for like 3 months and then, yeah, realized I didn't want to, like it was pretty life-changing. I realized I didn't want to do what I was doing and wanted to go back and find another job. So I got another job at doing IT support at a big travel company, an adventure travel company, and the idea was to move into marketing. So I went back to university. I spent a few years at that travel company as well, probably about 3 years. Yeah.
And how old were you when you decided to go study marketing and go do all that?
Yeah, so I must have been 23. I was around 23, 24. Right. I went back and did a master's in marketing part-time. While I was working at Intrepid Travel doing IT support.
And you finished that degree?
Yep. Finished it in 2 years or two and a half years. And then I started to look for a job in marketing and couldn't get a job in marketing. No one gave me a job. Like I was really hungry. Went for 3 different roles at Intrepid. I went for some external roles as well. And just no one to give me a crack. And that's kind of like how I said at the start of this conversation, like I kind of just fell into entrepreneurship. Like I just fell into it because I was trying to find work that I enjoyed. And I remember I went for like this marketing role at this agency and like, you know, like I asked the person for feedback and they said, yeah, here's my phone number, give me a call for like 5 minutes. And I asked them, you know, like, what do I got to do to get a job in marketing? And they're like, look, one thing that I think would be interesting is if, you know, if someone created their own website or they just showed that they really are hungry and they're interested in this stuff. So I started looking into online marketing and meshing my passion for technology with marketing. And I stumbled across, at the time, it was this thing called the 30-day challenge, which taught you how to make your first dollar online, and it teaches you everything you need to know about online marketing. It was a free 30-day challenge. But, yeah, it kind of took me down this path of, what would that look like and all these different things. And then from following the person that ran this 30-day challenge, he created this software, that off-the-shelf software that gave you the capability to create your own digital magazine on the App Store and Google Play Store. And I thought that was a fantastic idea. And I thought, I can really flex my skills here because I can create this magazine and whatever, right? And then I was like, at first it was going to be about horse racing, because one of my best mates is a horse racing journalist, and he's a presenter on racing.com every day. And I was living with him at the time, and he was going to do all the content, and I was going to do the tech and the marketing. And we were going to do that. And then he got a full-time job at racing.com and he couldn't do anything on the side. So, scrapped that idea. And then I was looking into, entrepreneurship, and I thought that was a really interesting space. So during that time when I was working on the magazine and even launching it, I remember even taking the magazine, which was Founder, to job interviews. So I'm not like most people where they're like, I want to start a business, and they dream up this idea and then they're working on this business. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. I was the most naive person you could ever imagine, and different intentions,
Do you think that naivety was a good thing though?
Yeah, 110%, because I didn't overthink things, which I think oftentimes people get in their own head and they want it to be perfect and all these different things. I just went with it, man. I was just so frustrated with the work that I was doing. I just needed to change. And it was forming a part of my identity that I didn't like. I didn't like that I was someone that was working in IT support, and I wasn't proud of the work I was doing. I wasn't proud of my career path. I wasn't proud that I was excited about what got me out of bed, And I think that's so important in life, right? Like I said, you spend most of your life working, or big part of it. I think it's so critical that you do the work that you enjoy.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'm curious to know, why weren't you excited to go to work? Because you had studied for such a long time, you'd done all this hard work to get a job in the first place, but yet you weren't happy. So why do you think that was?
So it wasn't fun. It just didn't fulfill me. And it's one of those hard things to describe, but when you know, right? Some people, they struggle finding their passion or purpose. So they say, how do I find out, what my purpose, or how do I find out, and I've got friends, probably you do too, that they might be not loving what they do, and they're stuck, right? And they want to work out what their next move is. And you don't really know, right, until you try things. But once you try something and then you find it, you just know, it's just something that lights you up. So for me, when I launched Founder, I didn't know what was going on. I was literally taking the magazine to job interviews, right? That's how naive I was. I just literally thought it might be a little side hobby project or whatever, right? That's what it started, as a passion project, not this big media education, nothing of the sort, right? I didn't think about raising capital, didn't think about anything. And I just fell in love with the process. I fell in love with the space. And, I remember after the first interview I did for the magazine, I was so nervous. And I remember saying to my partner, and now fiance, I remember saying I was so nervous, but I realized at that moment after that interview, I was loving it so much. This is what I was born to do. So, it's stuff like that, it sounds a bit woo-woo, but.
I completely relate to you on that front, man. I was in real estate last year for 7-8 months. And I was good at it, man. I thought my career path was going to be that way. And it was sort of I fell into it. I didn't see myself being a real estate agent. I had done so many other career things before even going into real estate. I sort of just applied, and it was almost this this chance. I didn't have any experience. I didn't have any credentials, nothing. Didn't know a thing about real estate. And someone gave me a chance to really prove myself. And I was literally on the first day thrown in the deep end of, it was almost like sink or swim. And I was sinking for such a long time, but then it sort of like clicked in my head. I'm like, sinking is good. I'm okay. I'm not drowning. I'm sinking and I'm climbing ever so closer to swimming to the top. And I love that process of just constantly climbing, man. And that's where I came up with my number one philosophy in life, which is be persistent to remain consistent at the things that you want. And I realized at the end of me leaving real estate and going and applying for so many other jobs here in Sydney and just not being satisfied, not being happy. And very much like you, man, I can go to my very first interview that I ever did. I was super nervous, or even better still, like my first, I would say, big social media presence. Someone had 9,000 something followers, but he was a big name in the real estate business with McGrath. And I was astounded that anyone would want to give me the time or day. And I remember sitting down with him for 20 minutes, just having a conversation, just being shaking in my boots, as the saying goes, and not really knowing how to navigate the conversation. But he was so kind, so present, and so gentle. And I really, really loved that. But when I went home, very much like you, man, I was like, this is exactly what I want to do. I want to share stories that change people's lives, man. And what I'm curious about for you is, when you went into these offices with Founder Magazine, what were people saying to you?
So I took it to two job interviews. First one was an internal job at Intrepid, and I spoke to one of the marketing managers there, and you know, she said what I'm doing is really impressive. Well, she found it impressive, but yeah, like I didn't get the job. They gave it to someone else internally at the company that was perhaps more, from their view, suited for the role. And then I went for a job with Aesop as like a junior marketing role. And yeah, they were quite impressed too. But the feedback they gave me is I didn't know enough about the company. Which, you know what, that was fair enough. I didn't know enough. When they asked me, I didn't answer the best and didn't answer as well as I could have, so I should have done more research on the company. So, yeah, maybe that's how I stuffed that one up. But, yeah, that's what I remember.
You live and you learn from your mistakes, don't you?
Like, yep.
One of the very best things in life is what I learned was, whenever I failed, I learned one of the best lessons ever, which is in failure, you learn humility. Like, it's one of the most important lessons a person can learn, because if we have like this one little bit of success, we can feel like we're too proud, we're better than somebody else. But I think that when you sort of realize every single day that you aren't better than anybody else, it's only your work that really distinguishes between anything else. Under the surface, man, you're all skin and bone and blood, all that. So the only thing that can really change you, and even in light of eternity, like if you have the drive, if you have the mindset, then you can go and achieve similar things, or if not, make it different, but make it better. You have that opportunity. I'm curious, Nathan, for you and not getting the job, when was the moment that you realized, hang on a minute, I can make Founder a full-time thing and I can start earning money? When was that moment?
Probably after the first couple of months. So the first day I launched the magazine, we made $5.50 and had two subscribers. And then at the end of the month, we made $80. And then I was like, oh, wow, like coming into the next month, I was like, geez, I've got to launch the next magazine edition. I've actually got subscribers, and like, I don't want to let people down, because that's really important to me, right? Like, someone's paying you for something and you don't deliver and you're selling a monthly magazine subscription, Like, there's no way I'd ever let that person down, even if I don't know them, right? So even if it was a side hobby passion project, even if I didn't know where it would go. And that thought of not letting people down is what's kept me going. And, like, you know, 7 years later, we still publish a new magazine every single month, right? So it was a combination of, like, I had made a financial commitment to others because they were giving money, no matter how small. That was the first thing that kept me going. But then the realization that it could be a full-time job was this beautiful thing called recurring revenue, which, you know, it's a subscription and it just kept going up, right? The second month, it went from $80 to like $200 a month. And then the third month, it went from $200 to like $350 a month. And I'm just like, wow, well, look, if I keep applying myself, I can keep building this thing. Now, I did have some roadblocks along the way in the first 4 months. We got an interview with Richard Branson for a front cover story, but at the same time, we were sued for trademark infringement. So the magazine wasn't called Founder at the time. It was called something else. And I ended up changing the name of the magazine to Founder. So that was an interesting stumbling block, but recovered, kept moving. And after I finished up that lawsuit stuff, which lasted for a couple of months, and, you know, kept back on the train, which we made up for. Like, we for 6 weeks we didn't publish a magazine, and then on the sixth or seventh, so we launched two magazines in 1 month, so we made up for that. But after that, then, like, yeah, for me, it was just a matter of time. Like, and I started hanging out with people. Like, I was really hardcore networking, and I was going to local entrepreneurial events in Melbourne or meetups, and I was meeting people and networking like crazy, and I was meeting people that were doing all sorts of things full time that you know, was entrepreneurial. And what happened was my mindset started to shift, where it wasn't imagine if or a wonder if, it was like when. It's like, when is this going to happen? Like, I knew, and like, your mindset can play tricks on you, right? But it's so powerful. If you really believe that you can do something, then that's 50% of the battle. Like most of it's won. If in your mind it's done, and that's what happened. My mindset started changing. It wasn't a matter of if anymore. It was a matter of when. And once that clicked on, like, yeah, then I knew that, like, I was onto something. And you know, I was getting really good feedback for the magazine as well. And yeah.
What would you say has been the hardest thing about running Founder, like the day-to-day rituals and routines that you've implemented? What would you say has been the hardest thing?
Well, tricky question. There's a lot of hard things when it comes to running a business.
If you were to break
especially it, for tra- what's that?
If you were to break it all down and you were to look at the one thing that sort of gives you the most pressure, the most anxiety, most stress, and that becomes the hardest thing, what would that be?
I reckon, yep, all right, good reframe. I think it would be the responsibility that I have for everyone that works at the company, right? Like, we've got a lot of expenses, man. Like, we're making moves, right? Like, we haven't raised any venture capital, but we sacrifice majority of profit for growth. And yeah, we're making moves, right? So we hired a lot of people. We're doing a lot of stuff, right? Like, we've got over 40 people, could be close to 50 by the end of this year. Wow. A lot of expenses, a lot of costs. Office here in Melbourne that could fit 70 people. Office in New York could fit 12, 15 people. Like, we're making moves, man. So that's pretty scary. Like, that's probably one of the hardest things, making sure that your business continues to grow, you know, like, you're keeping your team happy, you're meeting their expectations, you know, because, you know, you've got a responsibility for someone's career as well, and making sure they're getting good opportunities, making sure they're being looked after, making sure, like, You know, we've been competitive across all sorts of areas, right? So I reckon that's probably one of the hardest things.
It's a good answer, man. What would you say is the key to leadership, key to leading a team that size?
Having a good coach. And learning how to be a good CEO. So from my experience, you know, when it comes to scaling a company, right, one of the fastest ways you can do it is learning from others that have done it. But not just like a conversation like we're having, like actually get proper advisors or proper coaches at a proper coaching environment where you're catching up with someone on a regular basis. They're constantly challenging you and pushing you and giving you feedback, and they're helping you problem solve quite frequently. Not just like a random call with the person on clarity, like legit, like coaching or advisory. That's one of the best ways I've found to level up as a leader. And then, you know, I'm a big fan of, more than ever now, reading books about leadership and management. You know, there's some incredible people that have done some amazing things, and they write these amazing books where they just like impart all their principles, all their wisdoms, all their lessons, all their experiences. And you can take some of that, you know, you don't have to take it all, but you can take bits and pieces that are relevant to you and you just apply them. So, I think when it comes to leadership, it's really about learning from other great leaders and getting coaching and advisory.
I like that, man. It's so true, isn't it? I'm curious to know who has made the biggest impact in your life, whether it's spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally, financially. Who has it been?
Tricky one, because I've been very lucky to be surrounded by really incredible people throughout my journey, before Founder Two, not even during Founder. Probably my mum, right? Like if we're getting like real, like I have a lot of respect for my mum. She's taught me everything I know, or a lot. And she's taught me some really good principles around how to approach life, right? Like that's probably who's had the biggest impact. In regards to kind of, I guess, professionally, I would say one of my advisors, Steve McLeod. He's been an advisor of mine for 3 years and also founder and the founder team at large for 3 years now. That's been incredible. And then, there was a guy that I met on the train before I started Founder. I talked about this with Tom Bilyeu from Impact Theory. When I was like a bit younger, so like in my early 20s, so let's just say 22, 23, I didn't identify, and it might sound weird, but I didn't identify or see myself as a very masculine man. Like I'm not very tall. I'm a bit feminine in many ways. Like I used to like fashion and all sorts of things. I don't really like contact sports, stuff like that. But I'm a bit of a blokey bloke. Like I love having beers with the boys and, you know, getting loose and shit like that. But like, I felt inside me that there was something missing, or So I didn't feel like a masculine man, or I didn't identify. Yeah. When I say identify as a man, that doesn't mean I was looking for a sex change or anything like that. But like, maybe you want to edit that out. People are very sensitive nowadays, that's all. So, look, anyways, I started reading these books on masculinity and stuff like that, and I was reading this awesome book called The Way of the Superior Man, like next-level book by David Data, and I was reading it while I was on the train, and, this guy, when I got off at the station that I was at, he walked up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and was like, "Oh, hey, I saw you reading that book. It's really good. If you're interested in this kind of men's work kind of stuff, you should check out this other book called Fire in the Belly. And I was like, oh, awesome. Thanks so much for the tip. And then I was like, oh, well, I'm Nathan, by the way. Like, what do you do with yourself? This old kind of dude, probably in his 40s or 50s. And he said, oh, look, my name's Tony. He said, I work at Connex at the time. That was Connex used to run all the train lines and stuff. And then he said, yeah, look, I work pretty high up in the leadership team at Connex, but my real passion is actually helping people find their life purpose. And he gave me his card. And I left that card on my desk at home for like 4 or 5 months, and I just kept looking at it. And in the end, I actually reached out to him and I said, look, I was at a point in my life where I was really stuck. And I reached out to him and, he really helped me. We did some coaching and all sorts of things. We used to catch up at our local library because we used to live not far from each other. And like we did like coaching sessions and he got me to do all this homework and like it was next level stuff, man. And it really, really helped me put me on this path to wanting to find a job in marketing to then starting Founder. And I did a lot of work on myself, man, like really understanding who I was as a person, what I wanted, and developing and cultivating presence and this idea of being present and being in tune with my gut, my feelings, my emotions, and looking at things in a different way than I was looking at them. And it helped me tremendously. And I use some of these tools, right, even to this day.
I like that, man. Sorry, the dog was barking in the background there.
All good.
One question that I've always been curious about asking you, well, there's a dog, is what is the worst piece of advice you've ever been given?
Oh, man, these questions are hard, dude, because I just don't know. Like, I speak to so many people, like, it's not like I go, oh, that was shit advice. I'm going to hold on to that and then I'm going to remember it to recall it. I don't know, man. Maybe can we rephrase that question? Oh, I can give you something, but I just don't know if it's the worst.
I love this question because oftentimes for some people it does stump them, but I like asking it because oftentimes the worst piece of advice can end up being the best piece of advice. So has there been something that someone has said to you that sort of you thought at the time was bad, but then it ended up being great advice in the end? Has it been a moment like that? If not, that's fine. I'll move on to another question. But
I'm not sure. Sorry, brother. I don't know, man. I want to give you a good answer. I got nothing.
It's all good, man. You can send me an email later on. Here's my answer. Like, yes. But what advice would you give to a young person that wants to start their own business, wants to make their own moves in this space, which is a heavily saturated market for entrepreneurs? Like, it's almost like this celebrity status now to be called an entrepreneur. What advice would you give to a young person that is sort of afraid to take that leap?
Yeah, so they want to start a business. They want to, you know, do something entrepreneurial. I think from my experience, there's a couple of reasons or there's a couple of things that definitely hold people up that they want to start. There's a lot of people that like the idea of starting a business because, like you said, it's like the new cool, right? Yeah. If you got a startup, you run a business, like you got an online business, you're like cool, right? It's like a status thing now. Instagram and the Lambos and all this rubbish, right? Like that's not like what entrepreneurship is, but it is, it can be perceived that way through a different lens, right? So I think the first thing is if you're a young entrepreneur or you're a young aspiring entrepreneur, I think what's key is just getting very, very clear on the kind of like business you want to build. Because I think so often people have these crazy ideas and these outlandish ideas and it's cool and exciting. I would say look at the model first. Like you've kind of got a few paths. You can build a software business. You can build a, you know, you can build a tech business. You can build a software tech business or you can build a e-commerce business or you could start a blog or you could do freelancing and start an agency with your skills. Or you can start a local brick and mortar business, but you really need to look at the model first, not the idea. And the reason I say that, and it, you know, it's not something that people often think about, is because depending on the model that you choose depends on how much money it's going to cost to create it, right? And I think a lot of people start with the idea first, and a lot of young aspiring entrepreneurs start with the idea first, and it's not necessarily that smart because then they commit to this idea and they're like, oh, I want to build this app, right? And it's going to cost tens of thousands of dollars in development. And then they don't do anything. And then they use it as an excuse. And then they say, I don't have enough capital or I don't think I have a good enough idea and all these ideas. So I think about the model first. There's a few different types of online business models. And yeah, you really got to think about the model first. And once you work out what the model is, you want to look at people that are succeeding in that model. So at Founder, we try and interview and showcase people doing all sorts of different models, whether it is online in the online education space, whether it's you have an agency, whether it's you have a software business, whether it's you have an e-commerce business, whether it's a brick and mortar business, whether it's a franchise, doesn't matter. But start looking at people and seeing if you can find somebody that is succeeding with that particular model or that vertical. And look at what their customer acquisition channels are. Look and find out. Listen to every single podcast or interview they've done and find out, you know, how they started. Find out what you know, held them up in the early days. And then try and connect or find someone that can teach you or where you can learn this kind of stuff, because only then will you really know that's what you want to do, right? Or you'll get a much stronger taste of it. And then you just got to start, you know, like you just got to let go of that fear of failure, because that's the next thing that really holds people up is this fear of failure, this saying, oh, I don't have a good enough idea yet, or I haven't stumbled across a good enough idea. And I think that comes back to wanting it bad enough, right? Where does the fear of failure come from? It comes back to wanting it bad enough. And I think there's a lot of people that are comfortable. They like the idea of starting a business. They are attracted to how cool it looks and the status perhaps of having an online business, but they don't want it bad enough. And I think the more that you can cultivate that hunger, the better off you will be. I don't think that hunger can just be given to you. I think you have to experience some form of adversity. That's something that Tony Robbins taught me when I interviewed him, that hunger, that just wanting it bad enough, you have to experience some form of adversity. That doesn't mean something terrible happens in your life, but you have to take a couple of hits, I reckon, in some way, shape or form, where you have to just have had enough. And that's where my hunger comes from, right? My hunger comes from the fact that I was just so sick and tired of just walking around, like, you know, at like the companies that I was at, and just people thinking I was an absolute idiot. Like, you know, people call me up saying, hey, Nathan, can you reset my password? Or, hey, Nathan, my mouse doesn't work. And then I have to crawl under their desk and plug it in and out. I can just feel and look like a fucking idiot. Like, I just couldn't take that shit anymore, man. Like, and I'm not saying it's degrading work, but for me, it wasn't fulfilling, right? I know that, like, you know, I'm not knocking IT support, but for me, it just wasn't fulfilling. I felt and thought that I could do so much more. And it just wasn't fulfilling for me. So that's where, for me, yeah, I just had enough. I couldn't take it anymore, bro. Like, that was it. I just snapped and I just had to make a change. I refused to, you know, like just commit to that. That's the rest of my life.
Yeah, something similar happened to me, man. I like how you mentioned the adversity part, because I'm only 24 at the moment. And if you were to hear half the things that I've been through, you'd probably be like, how in the world are you still here? But I believe in two things. Number one, I was put on this earth for a reason, and I'm going to persistently work my absolute butt off to help as many people as I possibly can through stories. And I believe that stories are our essence. They are who we are. Stories make up every single day. They make up people. And if we can connect with someone else's story, with what they've been through, there's that relatability, there's that value there. So if you want to actually, I say to young people, like if you go through adversity, embrace it. Like it's okay. It may hurt for a little bit of time, but at the end of it, it is the best thing you'll ever do or ever go through. Because in that pain, you learn the best things in life, man. I kid you not. Like put it into perspective, I was blind for 4 days with meningitis, meningococcal. And it's an amazing thing, right? Because when you can't see, you do a lot of thinking, you do a lot of reflection. And I found who I really was in that moment, but I was so scared of embracing that I kept pushing it aside, even though I was in a dark spot there. And it wasn't until I hit literal rock bottom last year when everything just fell flat. I lost my dog of 11 years, the relationship that I was in for 7 months broke up. I lost my job, I resigned, but I had nothing. I had to sell all my film gear. I didn't know what I was going to do. And then that thought, who are you, Jay? Who are you really? And it took me sitting in front of a CEO of a top recruitment company to ask me one question: why do you want to work here? That really got my brain, hang on a minute. This is what I was asking myself a year ago. And now I'm back here again. And, you know, like I get it. I'm only 24. I know I haven't lived a lifetime of experience, but the thing is, when you go through adversity, like I said before, and like you were saying too, Nathan, embrace it, because it could be the best thing that could ever happen to you.
Yeah, I agree 110%. I think you just have to want it bad enough, man. Like you really do. So many people come and go, you know, I've been doing this for a while now, like with Build and Founder and stuff, and the amount of people that, you know, I see that write to me or whatever, right? I'll say to Charlie, because I don't really do interviews anymore. It's not really that scalable. Like I'd rather just spend my time on Founder, and that's just, I feel I can serve more people through Founder, right? A lot of the time, right? And he said, I was doing this interview with you today, and he said, oh, why are you doing it? I said, well, first of all, this guy followed up. No one ever follows up. Like when I say no, like I don't have time, but feel free to reach out to me, you know, whenever, if that person is persistent. You were one of the only that reached back out. And I guess, you know, I think a lot of the time, you know, people come, people go, and they're not persistent. They don't want it bad enough.
I wanted, when you told me, or when people tell me in general, hey, we don't have time, I don't see it as a no. I see it as not now. Like there's always going to be a period of time. Like I know I'm not big enough. I know I'm not like massive, like what everyone else is, because I've only been doing it for like 10 months. But I've been able to see the incredible growth over that period of time, because my philosophy, like I keep saying, is that persistence, because then I will be consistent and I don't give up. Like if I face a little failure, and believe me, I keep failing every single day, and just trying to figure out, okay, what makes me different compared to everybody else? Because I know there's like over a million other podcast businesses out there that are pretty much doing a similar thing. There's another one popping up every single day. And it's almost like, well, how am I different? And I think number one, you're right, I follow up. But also because there's that I want to help. I have that goal in mind, and I'm hungry. Like I want it bad enough, and I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to just give it a go, you know. And because my grandfather used to tell me all the time, he's like, "Jay, if you don't ask, you don't get." And then he used to say to me all the time, he's like, "Don't put off for tomorrow what can be done today." And he's like, "If you're going to keep putting things off, you're going to be lazy and nothing's ever going to get done. So make sure that you take the time right now to get things done that need to be done if you've got the time." So also real quickly, I apologize, I'm rambling now, but I'm up at, no one ever sees this, but I'm up at 1, 2 a.m. in the morning responding to emails, sending them out. Like, that's hustle. And you've got to be willing to do that. You've got to be willing to sacrifice certain things in order to get somewhere. But no one ever sees that, right? They always see the top of the iceberg, so to speak.
Yeah, I agree, man. Like, look, that will pay returns for you, bro, guaranteed, because I've seen it across my own journey. I've seen it across many others.
Mm. Sorry, man. I was biting your ear off there.
But good.
I've got two more questions for you, if you don't mind. Or
yep,
two more questions. This is a more of a fun one that I love asking people. What is the weirdest food combination you've ever tried?
Weirdest food combination I've ever tried. Look, dude, I got a lot of food allergies, so I'm I don't need a lot of different foods. I've had food allergies my whole life, so you got me again on that one, bro.
We got a 3 for 3 today, man. How good's that?
Yeah. Got no idea. Sorry, bro. I can't answer that one. Like I literally am allergic to dairy, eggs, sesame, nuts, peanut, coconut. Like I never had chocolate in my life, ice cream. What? So I've had it my whole life, like allergies. So yeah, man. So like I can't answer that one. Sorry.
You poor man. What do you eat, man?
I can have like all dairy, I can have all poultry, fish, right? I can have a lot of Chinese food. I can have heaps of food, man. It's just like, yeah, I've had it my whole life. So it's not bad because I just don't know what I'm missing out on, you know?
You blew my mind with the can't have chocolate thing. Far out. You are the first person I've ever met in my life that has said they've never had chocolate.
Like, there must be some.
I've never met anybody else, man. Like, you're the first person.
Man, you need to meet more people, bro.
I do. Far out, man. Well, I guess you're not really missing out on too much, but still. Dude, this is my last question. This is my legacy question that I love asking people at the end. So your friends have put together a highlight reel of everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done. And you've been able to reach the age of 100, right? So they've shown it to you on your 100th birthday. Don't ask me how in the world they got it all. We'll just call it magic. But they've shown it to you on your 100th birthday. What do you want that highlight reel of your life to say and to show about it?
Basically that he's had a good life. It's been good, like crazy, crazy life. It's been good. Good, fulfilled life.
I love it, man. Good legacy to leave. Nathan Chan, thank you so much, man, for your story, everything that you're putting out there into the world as well. I just want to honor you and say I really appreciate your time and for actually saying yes and for believing in me. Where can people find you and connect with you?
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, look, really appreciate the opportunity. Always happy to, help out a fellow Australian chat talk shop. So, yeah, you can find out more at founder.com. We have a podcast too. We interview some of the greatest entrepreneurs of our generation, just founder.com/podcast. And, we have tons of, so much content to help you start or grow a business, audio, video, or written content. We're here to help however we can.
Thanks so much for coming on the Storybox Podcast.
Welcome. Thanks so much for having me, man.
I don't like this part because it means that sadly we have come to an end of yet another incredible story. I just want to say thank you to all of you for tuning in and listening to our guest today. It is my prayer that you would have felt inspired, motivated, challenged in some way, and that you would have learned something new as well. If you'd like to hear more amazing stories like this one, you can do so now by searching up The Story Box on any podcast platform. It's that easy. If you did get something from our guest today, please share it around to a friend or family member that you think could benefit from hearing this powerful story. And before you go, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. It will only take 30 seconds and it'll go towards reaching more people. Let's start changing lives through powerful stories like this one. Your support is greatly appreciated. Until next time, when we dive back into The Story Box, I'm Jay Phantom, and don't forget, your story is worth more than you know. I'll catch you next time.